ladies and gentlemen,
I don't understand something.
Yep, talk to me.
Sam, I'm about to say something that I didn't think I would ever say to anyone in my entire life. When exactly are you coming home from Egypt?
Me?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Sam going to?
Well, you said Sam.
I meant Sam.
The 27th.
So we won't be on next week.
That's correct.
So the Twins and Timberwolves seasons might be over by the time you get back. And the Wi-Fi.
I think the NBA play. That one's technically over before I leave.
Okay,
yeah.
I just thought I'd include.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's true. I think the Timberwolves will not. I don't think all four games will have concluded by the time I'm home.
Oh, okay. Got it.
I could be wrong on that, but I think the way the schedule. They haven't released the whole schedule, but I think they start Saturday, and I'll be home, I think, when game four would be, because I don't think they really play on back to back days, do they? This early?
It's the NBA. They can't do that, so I doubt it.
Well, Saturday, we're probably the only team who has to.
Yeah, you're right. They'd play Saturday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at best. But I got to imagine there's an extra day in there somewhere. So that puts game four on Saturday. So even if they are swept, I should be home. So.
Got it. Okay.
But the Twins, you're probably right. Although I did just see a tweet. Not that this is anything other than interesting and obviously not applicable actually to this season. I just thought it was interesting. The Twins did start 6-10 in 1991 as well, which I thought was interesting.
Not that I think this team. How many wins did I say? 62?
I don't remember.
I think I'm way off. I mean, I think they're going to be. I mean, will they get 40 wins?
No, yes. I mean, that's ridiculous. I think. What's the record for least wins?
Probably 52.
Oh,
I'm looking.
They'll get at least that. I think they'll get 52. I don't know. One of the worst teams they've ever had.
40.
40 is the. That's a pretty bad year.
The 1962 Mets were 40-120, and the 2003 Tigers were 41-119. Those are your two worst seasons.
I would say that Buxton.
That's in 162 game seasons. Now. If you want to talk winning percentage, regardless of number of games played, the 1899 Cleveland Spiders.
Oh, they were good.
Were 20-134.
Oh, no, they weren't. They're bad. Okay.
For a 130 winning percentage, a 0.13 winning percentage.
So I would say that, excuse me, I would say that, you know, with the way Buxton, that you figure Buxton is going to get hurt in the next game or two, or fake getting hurt, and he'll be out 60, 70 games. But I don't know that that would hurt us. He's awful. So, wow, what a pathetic team they have. But that's what you get.
He's awful.
What, you don't think he's having a bad year?
I think he's been okay. He's been incredible defensively for the first time.
Oh, yeah. Well, we knew that. That was never a question.
Yeah. I mean, he had a couple game. He had a bad stretch for sure, but I think awful's a bit extreme. That's all.
Okay. Well, it won't matter. He'll go away shortly.
No, that's probably true.
We know that's going to happen. So
that's probably true. It is a little. I mean, it's a lot of sad for a lot of reasons, but it is. It is sort of sad. Now he's not hitting great, but. Buxton has made incredible plays in the field. He had a triple today on a ball that had no business being a triple. Like, he, at least for what will be 16 games after today, has looked like the Byron Buxton of old, at least with respect to that. The hitting needs to come around and all of that for sure. But it is kind of sad that he's finally in the field, playing the field, being the player we thought he could be in most aspects of his game. In the same year that the Poleds decided they had no desire to field a winning team. Like,
I feel like the Poleds have always had that desire. It's just because they've added when they've had a good team, they've never added to it. It's actually embarrassing. But
yes and no. I mean, yes and no. They've never they've never taken that, I would say, next step to move into the top third for sure.
Exactly.
But it's factual to say that the last 3 years, maybe a little bit longer, they were increasing payroll each year. Yeah. Not a lot, but they were. They went and got Correa. I mean, they signed some guys for sure. But the second they had to make the second there was a business decision on the table, they cut 20% of payroll. I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's just
why, 19... I still don't understand why you'd want to own a sports team if you don't want to pay for it.
They made a $19 million profit last year, so right. I guess that's all they care about.
You could still make a $4 million profit and still spend $15 million more on players. That's a pretty talented player.
You guys just did your taxes. You could lose money and still be beneficiary.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think if I've learned anything about the poll ads, they're not actually very good business people. Because
no, and you know what's weird?
Coming up the year, if I may, very quickly, and they have some very smart people working for them. I think I need to say that.
I don't think you need to say that. Go ahead.
Well, there's at least one person that I know that works
for them.
Person that works for them that I think is probably very smart.
Yeah, but he doesn't make these decisions. You're right. He would make the right decision.
He technically works for them, though, so I think I needed to say that.
Oh, yeah, 100%. No, I agree.
I found it very shocking. I think we talked about this when it happened. And I guess now, in retrospect, not that shocking, but the Twins were coming off of probably one of the most significant seasons in the past 20 years, let's call it. I mean, you had Correa. You had Lewis, who we thought was going to be healthy. Let's assume. Let's pretend this is 4 months ago before we knew it would happen. You had Buxton. You had finally broken the playoff curse. Like, you had such an easily marketable team. You had such an easy momentum to build off of. No one was going to say you have to go spend more money. Just spend the same in terms of payroll.
Right.
That's whatever. When I knew we were in trouble was when this whole Bally Sports thing was going down and they couldn't run their business in a way that went out and found a better deal. How could you not take this team and the momentum that this team and the fans and the state and surrounding Twins territory, as they call it, had and not fix that? Like, you've never had more positive momentum around a team, genuinely, in the past 20 years, probably. You had a great season. You finally won some playoff games. You had tons of stars to market and build around. And
you don't care.
You gave yourself a worse media deal and then spent less money on players. Like, it's one thing to not care and not want to spend the money. It's nothing to just run a business poorly. I don't know. When that happened, that's when I knew there was no shot. I mean, that was a signal to me that they had either no interest or no idea how to capitalize on that success.
I mean, and then I think we talked about last week. I'm old. We talked about Glenn Taylor. I mean, at least he spent money. If he would own the Twins, I can only imagine. No, I'm not saying he's a good guy.
I don't think
by any means, but
yeah,
I do. I think he has.
He has now.
Money is never the issue.
I don't think so. It's also a very different sport. Like, there's a salary.
You're also a fatal flaw to your argument is we used to roll out rosters of Alexi Shved, JJ Barea,
five white guys,
Andre Kirilenko, and Nikolai Pekovic. I don't think that's spending money.
No, he spent money. He just spent them on the wrong people. So I agree. He signed big contracts.
All he did was draft horrible people, and then he didn't supplement it with anything.
We talked about this last week. The only guy you could really come up with was from 25, 30 years ago. There was, 30 years ago? Like,
no, he signed a lot of big. Yeah, he. If you go back, there was a lot of huge.
If you can't name one, it must have not been that big.
I can name 10. Kevin Love, Kevin Garnett.
But those are just guys. Those don't count. Those are guys that drafted.
Terrell Sprewell. Should I keep
going? By the way, okay.
He's so not, he didn't sign any of them.
Cassell and Sprewell, we did, by the way. He did it for 1 year. We had the most successful season in franchise history. And then what did he do?
They left.
He didn't pay Sprewell next year. And then we went right back to the bottom.
They offered
He didn't let me finish. He didn't play Spearwell. Cassell got hurt, and then we were right back to square one. And then he traded Garnett. So it's the exact same point we just made. They had the most momentum they've had. I mean, this is not the most momentum the Twins have ever had, but literally they had the most momentum they have ever had in franchise history. And he took one of their three best players, chose not to re-sign him. I get he wanted a crazy contract, but if you're telling the truth that he spent money, he would have signed the contract for whatever the guy wanted to keep the momentum going. The second things went poorly because Cassell got hurt, right back to the bottom and right back to not spending money. So I'm going to push back on that a little bit.
That's fine.
And I'm not sure Kevin Love counts because we drafted him and they traded him again. So.
Well, they traded him.
I don't count re-signing guys you drafted as quote unquote spending money.
I also look up Latrell Sprewell.
Oh, LeBron's
contract. And the first thing is 3-year, $25 million contract extension, a substantial pay cut. So he's been spent.
Well, he was also 100. But by the way, just for the record, and here's the fatal flaw to what you two are saying. That was the last contract Latrell Sprewell ever didn't sign. He never played again. So the Timberwolves were going above and beyond to sign him. Nobody else signed him. Nobody wanted him.
It's two different arguments.
It doesn't matter. The Timberwolves are going to get swept. The Twins, I said this before the season started. You guys argued with me. They absolutely.
We didn't argue with you.
Well, you sort of did. I said they did nothing.
Disagreed, but I don't think we were like.
Well, everyone in the division is better, with the exception of the White Sox. Every team in the division went out, improved, and is way better than us. Period.
So it's just a fact. I think in 100 games we're going to feel very different about the division at large. Different about the Twins. Well, the reason the top of the division is so good is because they've gotten to play the White Sox.
Well, they got to play the Twins too.
No, they only Cleveland. We beat Kansas City.
Detroit, whatever.
Detroit, okay. We split with.
All right. No, Twins are good.
Well, the Twins aren't good, but that's my point. We beat Kansas City, and we split with Detroit. Kansas City has gotten to play the White Sox already 5 times, and they've gotten to play the Mets 3 times, and they lost to the Mets twice. The Mets have as many wins as we do. I'm not saying we're good.
I mean,
I'm saying I think Kansas City and Detroit specifically are very skewed record-wise because they've gotten to play the White Sox and the A's.
And if you think Cheryl Reeves is going to get a free pass on this show, she's not. She's awful, too. Throw her in there. Ever since she took over getting players, they've been awful.
The woman they just drafted had the first, like, 50.
Wait, what did you just say?
The woman they just drafted?
Are you sure?
I mean, yeah.
You said one of the best things you've ever said. He's part of the bloodline.
Said she, which I thought was funny.
She's part of the bloodline.
She's from Alaska, actually, but she's Samoan. Oh, she's got the tattoo.
She's part of the bloodline. No, Angel Reese wouldn't have been very good.
I was okay with that. I didn't think she was. I don't think Cheryl Reeve and Angel Reese.
It was a genius move by management to trade back one pick and to that team take the woman we didn't want and then to get two more picks out of it.
That's true because they didn't want her, but I guess why didn't they want her? But yeah, that's true.
Because she's, if you watch the game, she's not good. She throws the ball so hard off the rim or off the backboard. There's no touch. She's going to get bullied in the WNBA.
I can't wait for Caitlyn Jenner to just suck. I cannot wait. I am waiting. I will watch every one of the Indiana Fever games.
The Alyssa Pilley was not only Pac-12 Player of the Year, she was third team All-American and had a 50-40-90 season. It's not like they drafted some nobody.
Okay.
Maybe you don't know her, but you don't know ball. I mean, we know that.
And you knew who she was before the draft?
Yes. That's,
no way.
She was an All-American. She was Pac-12 Player of the Year. She was the last Pac-12 Player of the Year.
Is that even a thing? Okay.
She was the last one. She was the first. This I didn't know until they drafted her, I'll be honest. She was the first Utah Ute to ever score 2,000 points under the, on the women's side.
Oh, well, I mean, geez.
That's
man, we couldn't believe she was available. By the way, Charles Barkley.
I'm just saying, it's not like they passed on Angel Reese to take, like, I don't know.
Charles Barkley, huge WWE fan. He's really pissed at Chad Gable.
He was ripping into Zion before the game. The WWE thing, too, but he's just been on one lately.
He's mad at, he wants to beat up Chad Gable. It's pretty funny. You know you're doing your job.
The WWE is physically pulling people back in, whether they like it. It has been so good they don't know what to do about it. But before we talk a bit more about that, before we get more into the WNBA draft, before we talk more about the maybe not depressing, but the reality of the Minnesota Twins, and before we talk what must be a bit early, but I think necessary NFL draft chatter, because we can't do a show next week, I got to tell you how you can listen to this show and so many more awesome shows. You can find us on all of your favorite streaming services, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, so many more. You found us one way or another. Go find us however you like, favorite, like, subscribe. That way, every time we have a show, it's right there ready for you to listen. You can also find us as a proud member of the WFNU 94.1 FM Frogtown Community Radio family. If you're in the Twin Cities area, we come to you live over the airways, 7 a.m. Central every Saturday morning. But it's not just us that you should tune in for. There's tons and tons of awesome shows and awesome content, awesome people on the network, everything from news, sports, music, and everything in between. Do not miss a show. And how do you not miss a show? Go check them out at WFNU.org, streaming, and also on their app on demand, the WFNU app. You'll find it with their logo, Frogtown Community Radio. So it's a frog in a record. Great logo. Go check it out. 7 a.m. Central for apples to apples. Also 1 a.m. Central, Sunday morning, bright and early.
That's the one I recommend you listen to.
It's the same show, but it probably sounds better at 1 a.m. on Sunday. I think we are at best a C show on the network. There's plenty of amazing B shows, but there, and I don't think anyone there would be offended that I'm saying this, is one A show that runs the network. He is the, what did Cena used to say? The face that runs the place or whatever?
It's the face that runs the place, yeah. The
face that runs the place. Connor of Connor's Corner, brought to you by, perhaps unofficially, but I'm saying officially, Highland Popcorn. They're 8 a.m. Central Saturday
morning. Grand opening to be... to be talked about soon. So
they're not open. This whole time I thought they were open. I
mean, they are, but places do grand openings like 6 months after.
It was a soft opening.
It's a real retail. Well, it's been more than soft. They've been going, but yeah. So you know, what's the wrestling term, like kayfabe, where you don't really want to, you try not to go behind the scenes too much.
Kayfabe is the like idea of presenting the like. Keeping the storyline outside
of the ring. Right, exactly. So
in kayfabe, The Rock would be The Rock when he's on McAfee.
Yeah, so I can't even keep kayfabe this week because normally I'd say, well, it's, you know, this is what happened on the show and stay tuned. I don't even know if we have a show this week. So I'm just going to say, listen, stay tuned after the show. And who knows? It could be, we might be on live. I don't know. I'm thinking we are, but my boss is busy. I don't know what's going on, but it'll be entertaining either way. So I'm not going to pretend like we already know what the show is because I don't have the strength to do that right now. Okay. Hello? Am I on the air alone?
You got it.
Hello? Where's Drew?
Maybe
Sam, Egypt yet? What just happened? So are you and I actually talking?
I can't move my phone because it can only charge in one spot.
Okay.
If I do that, then I'll lose battery and then it'll just be you.
Are you and I?
Drew's actually on the Skype call.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Are you and I talking as father and son, or are we actually being recorded?
Because
you're not that interested in talking to me if this was just a conversation, I know.
He did text us. Can you look at that?
Oh, hang on. Let's see what he said. Hold, please. Oh,
he He had a
need 5 minutes to carry the show for a second. Oh, so we are being, at least we're being recorded.
Well, we did a show once, and I think it was the highest viewed show or listened show. Well, maybe viewed too.
No, a lot of people. But and by the way, why did you want to know if I had a microphone? Like, where did you even see that?
Oh, there was for all the people who, I don't know, have Twitter and follow you on Twitter. There was a picture of you carrying a microphone
on
the baseball field.
Yeah,
you were in all white.
I was in all white. Did you? Thanks for noticing. It was what they call in the business. It was what they call in the business a whiteout. And I have decided this year to just, while I coach, to just carry a wireless microphone with me in case I need to chat with people. So that's a new thing.
Did you guys miss me?
Oh, you're back. We got confused. We didn't know when you were gone. We didn't know if we were talking to
someone. While you were gone, Dad spent the five-minute filler talking about himself. So
I did not do that. I asked you a question. We didn't know.
Dad wanted to know how I knew he had a microphone, and then I decided to talk about his white outfit.
You said I had a white. Oh my God, this is controversial. You said I had a white outfit on, and I said it's what they call in the business. Well, then I didn't bring it up, and I said that's what they call a whiteout in the business. So
I was just
for the record,
and Drew what he meant.
I know you two never did this when you played, but just for the record, actually you might have, Sam. We did come from behind and walk off the number one team in state for our third win of the season during the whiteout. But so I know you guys didn't care. So
yeah, I mean, Drew and I usually weren't behind, but yeah.
True. All right.
So I needed 5 minutes. I'm going to make a small PSA because apparently smoke detectors eventually just stop working. Like, not like they run out of battery, like they have an end of life as a smoke detector. That happened to mine a week ago, which is poor timing because we're about to leave for 10 days. So I had asked our super to get us a new one. And for some reason, he thought now, 9 p.m. on a Tuesday, was the right time to bring it up and give it to me. So he was knocking at the door and installing it. I told him he didn't have to come this late. He goes, well, I thought you were leaving tomorrow. I was like, we leave Thursday night. He was like, oh.
Close.
My bad. He was like, well, here you go. He was like, I got worried you were going to leave and I wasn't going to be able to get in.
So I got a bone to pick with Sam. Drew just talked about himself longer than I did, and you didn't say a word.
That was like 30 seconds.
And I didn't talk about myself. He asked me the questions.
No, you brought up.
I asked why
you were at a microphone.
You didn't have to. Yeah, but you didn't have to get into the whole whiteout and how good I looked and stuff like that. That was all you.
Well, I mean, you just added something about looking good.
I thought
that
you
was about you.
I thought that's why you brought it up, because you thought I look good. Is white slimming? I sometimes I don't think so. Okay.
Usually they say black is slimming.
I don't think it is.
Oh, so maybe I wasn't slimming. Okay, that's fine. That's fair enough.
It must have been a little nippy out though.
At 5 o'clock, I don't. Hopefully, when you two get to the state of Minnesota, right now at 5:15 ish every day. I don't care if it's 90 out. At 5:15, you're freezing. You got to put a jacket on. And every day I come home cold. It's just like clockwork. We can't have nice things here. But it might snow again on Friday, for all I know. It's brutal. Absolutely brutal. Did you watch the Masters? Did you still do your Masters thing? I mean, how boring.
It was it was a pretty good tournament until the very, like, the last, I don't know, whatever, six holes. When Aberg doubled, that's when it was over. But until then, I actually thought it was good. I thought it was a good mix of scoring. I thought the day that it was super windy was kind of interesting to watch and fun to watch, and kind of saw what made Augusta so tough. Sometimes you don't, because it like rains and it's soft, but it was like hard, it was windy. Did you see, I can't remember who it was, you see the one guy who's about to putt and his ball just started blowing off the green?
Yeah,
I don't know. I thought it was a pretty solid Masters. I mean, we're in one of those periods of time in golf which seems to happen every few years where there's just one guy that can't be stopped, which is
kind of. I do have to give Drew credit though about something.
What? Can I? I'll be right back then. Go ahead.
Okay. Drew had a tweet. I can't remember what day of the Masters about it, but it was about the Masters coverage and how the coverage doesn't start until 2 or 3 p.m. The broadcast coverage, that is. And Masters does a very good job. They let you watch a lot of it on the website. But the problem with that is the broadcast coverage doesn't start until 2 to 3. And then, to Drew's point, in his tweet, the feature groups aren't even the good groups. And there's only like one or two of them. So you're not really seeing a good amount of the field. And there's like Amen's Corner, which is three of the holes. And then there's another one that's like two of the holes. So you're not really following the good people you want to watch along. And then they did this cool thing that you could watch every shot that the people you had in your pool took. And then that function didn't work. So it was very depressing. One, they should just start the broadcast way earlier. It's the biggest golf tournament of the year. Why are they starting it at 2 p.m. when most of the guys are starting way earlier? It makes absolutely no sense, the broadcast coverage.
Was that on – so two quick things. Was that on CBS?
Saturday and Sunday were.
Okay, so two things. One, I've probably lived with my roommate for almost 40 years. Never until Sunday was I informed that my roommate likes to watch golf on TV. I have no idea where that came from. I'm stunned. But I would venture to guess that CBS, not only did they have those glitches, but they're having other issues. I mean, they can't finish a Billy Joel song. Are you kidding me? You hear about that?
I did. I still don't really understand what happened because it had to do with the Masters coverage.
They had the Masters coverage, and then which they allotted for, and then obviously things run late. But then there was some like special report that went on for 40 minutes that they didn't account for. So basically, most of the country, probably California, didn't, but the rest of the country, right in the middle of Piano Man, they went to the local news. Jesus.
But I guess why did they have to leave the Billy? I don't really understand.
I don't know how it works, if it's just an automatic thing. You know what I mean? That they don't physically do it and just, I don't know. But like, I think California is the only one that got to see the conclusion of Piano Man and the other song.
That's fine. Billy Joel has been playing that exact song in that exact manner for 30, 40 years, perhaps. Oh. I think you could probably find it.
What was that? The 100th straight sellout or something? Or 1,000th or something? That's why they showed it.
I have no idea.
He's moving to Florida anyways.
I don't think it's anything to be bothered about, if you want me to be honest.
Well, here's where I would differ. You and I and Sam wouldn't do this, but the people that took the time to watch Billy Joel's concert on CBS would be pissed that they missed it. Now,
yeah,
I don't know why.
My point is, like, just go on YouTube. There's 100 versions of it. Probably a lot that are a lot better than that one.
Yeah.
He's 100.
Okay, let me back up. The people that watch him are 100. The people that would take the time to watch him on a Sunday night on CBS don't know about YouTube, but
yeah,
I
get your point, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
Permission to say it's not even really his best song?
I agree. I mean, how's New York State of Mind not right there?
Yeah, I mean, I get it. It's an iconic song, and, you know, it kind of sucks that, you know, that's...
Well, they're all iconic.
But, like, it's not my favorite Billy Joel song, at least. It's good.
I mean, Gopher basketball sucks, Gopher football sucks, Gopher women suck.
Whoa.
Like, what are we... Is there any
hope
for... We're
just talking about Billy Joel. What's
I know, I'm done, because I'm done with Billy. Is there any hope for any our soccer
what,
team?
What,
I don't
what
know.
Came to your mind?
Do we still have a soccer team?
No, hold on. What prompted your mind to say, I need to talk about how much each Gopher team...
Oh, I wasn't done.
Coming off of Billy Joel.
Oh, time out. You cut me off. I just started with that.
I understand. Your phone's ringing. I understand that's where you started, but why did you start there in the first place is my question.
Oh, I was just going
to
rattle
off. Oh, it seemed like a random place to start. None of them are playing right now.
Well, okay. That's my phone ringing, by the way.
I told you that.
I started there because I was going to ramp up to
Then I was going to hit the Wild and the rest of the teams. Like, my point is there hope for any Minnesota team? Because now I'm reading the Vikings probably aren't going to trade up, and they have the hardest schedule in America. So what is there any hope at any time?
I don't think you can trust anything anybody says about the draft or not. Did you hear what the Commanders are doing? Well,
no.
I guess it's a nice segue into the draft. The Commanders, so most teams host their top possible picks on interview days, and they work them out and all of that. Normally you bring one guy in, you get specific one-on-one time with him, you find out what they're all about, you run through specific drills, all of that, whatever. The Commanders are hosting Jaden Daniels, Drake May, JJ McCarthy, and Penix together. They're having them all come together.
Isn't the draft in a week?
Yes. They're going to visit with them all together. They're going to run them through drills together.
Oh, my God.
I genuinely think it's a they're claiming that the GM brought that idea away from San Francisco, where they would host groups of prospects at the same time. Sure. It's one thing if you hosted Drake May and Marvin Harrison Jr. and an offensive line. It's like, it'd be one thing if you hosted five or six guys from various position groups to, like, have them, you know, whatever. You're going to host all four top quarterbacks time. That's insane.
By the way, that didn't work for San Francisco. The only quarterback that they drafted that worked, I can guarantee you, had never been in their building before.
Probably not.
So that's a good model to go by.
So moral of my story being,
I don't mind Penix or whatever his name is.
Penix.
Yeah, I don't mind.
I don't mind him at 23. I worry a little bit about. Well, I have my
kids. He's working out with the Patriots now, so that's why everyone thinks we're going to trade up. So that's another. Yeah. To Drew's point, what can you trust? But
I don't mind him down.
Despite a dad's point.
And I think, and apparently I think it was the Patriots. The Patriots have. I saw three different New England reporters claim the Patriots' top choice was a different guy. Like, no one's got any clue. Everyone's just saying what they want to say to try and influence trades, influence value, influence whatever.
No, and it's
that time of year where anyone says means a thing.
This year especially proves that no one actually knows what they're talking about, because in years past it's been clear cut. Oh yeah, this guy's the best. Everyone agrees these guys are the best quarterbacks. But this year there's actually a little bit of debate, and it shows because there's no consensus at all. People say this guy's got a really good arm. This guy's a horrible arm. People say this guy's fat. This guy's athletic and can move out of the pocket. This guy can't get out of the pocket. It makes absolutely no sense that these guys apparently are all the top analysts at their job in college football, and none of them can agree on a single statistic of a quarterback.
And most of these guys will be bust anyways.
I was going to say, I think all of them will be better than Caleb Williams. So.
Yeah, no, I think... I don't know. I mean, I don't know if any of these guys are going to be the guy. That's the weird part, but got to draft somebody.
I think some of them can be good. I do think this year more than many others, though, you're going to see late developing guys, if that makes sense. Like, I think Caleb Williams will have moderate success right away, but I think like he's going to overestimate his own athleticism at times. I think May is low-key extremely young, even though he's big. J.J. McCarthy is only, like, I don't even know if J.J. McCarthy's – I think he's 20, maybe. He's incredibly young. And
I don't want him. Of he's all 21, of them, I guess. I don't want him.
He's the youngest one out of all of them. And he was, yes, in the most pro-style offense, but he didn't have to throw it a ton. Although, in pressure situations, he threw – better than all of those other guys, so it's an interesting stat. Meanwhile, Penix is the oldest and the most mature out of all of them, same with Jaden Daniels, but they have other issues that I think are going to be exploited at the top level. Jaden Daniels takes hits like nobody's business. Like, he is a serious flight risk. And well, Penix has that really weird, low, kind of slow motion that I think, you know,
and
worries.
And
he's a lefty, which, I mean, that you never know. But
let me ask you a question.
My point being, I'll wrap it up, then you can ask the question. My point being, I think a lot of these guys are going to be good to very good in 2 to 3 years. But I think they all have a learning curve, whereas there's not – I don't know if there's anybody that on day one will be a top quarterback like Stroud was, or I guess who else kind of has been like that in recent memory. Herbert, I think, was very good, you know, early on as I go back. I mean, Mahomes, but Mahomes sat a year. Like, there will be a lot of Josh Allen-esque, I think, growth trajectories, where that first year is going to be a lot of ups and downs, and then they'll figure it out. But I think that's true of a lot of guys. So if you're patient, I think it's a good draft, but you need patience.
Okay, so this is for both of you.
Go ahead, Dan.
Oh, no, you can. I mean, it might be what I'm about to ask you guys. We got the 11th, we got the 23rd. Should we just pick guys and go with Darnold and see what we can get in free agency or a trade or maybe next year? I mean, are we better? Is it the worst thing if we don't trade up to get one of these guys?
I think you have to take somebody.
Okay.
I don't think it's the worst thing to not trade up, but
maybe you take Penix.
I think if McCarthy is there at 11 or if Penix is there at 23, I don't think that's the worst thing in the world.
I would take Penix at 23. Yeah.
I don't think you can next year.
You're saying they have to make
class,
a trade.
No, I'm saying they have to draft a quarterback in the first round at some point.
Okay, I got you. I serious.
Next year's class is disgustingly bad when it comes to quarterbacks, at least on paper right now. I think the idea of a free agency quarterback, it doesn't appeal to me at this point in the NFL that we live in, because if a quarterback's good and they're worth it, they're not going to get to free agency. The best quarterback out there in free agency every single year basically has been Kirk, and we've done that. Mahomes is never going to be a free agent. Allen's never going to be a free agent. Lamar's not going to be a free agent. I know you don't like him, but still. Herbert's never going to be a free agent. Like, these guys just are not going to be free agents at this point in their career. And sure, you can try and trade for them, but they're going to be worth more in a trade than just trying to get a guy on a rookie contract that you think is good. So I think that is a roulette wheel you do not want to spin. But I think I don't think you have to trade up this year, because I think there are five guys that could genuinely be good to great in this draft.
Sam?
Hey, I don't think the Vikings will see a QB draft class like this in this management team's tenure, another draft class like this in this management team's tenure. So I think if they have a guy, not including Caleb Williams, because obviously he's going to go one and it'll be too much, they won't trade. No, Bears won't trade number one. But if they have a guy that they want, just do whatever they want to go get that guy, because they're not going to get another opportunity to have this amount of this stack of a QB draft class again. And they never draft a QB in the first round. When are they going to? Now's their time to get a young QB contract, not spend a ton and build a roster elsewhere. And if they have a guy, then they should get him. Whether that's trade, I think they should trade up and get Daniels or May. But if they, for some reason, like Penix the most or McCarthy the most, then they should get that guy. I mean, this is the time that this management has to get the guy they want and the quarterback of the future.
I'm more and more convinced we should have got Ohio State guy. I think he would have been good.
You're talking yourself into Fields after the fact now, even more.
Yep, I think not. I wanted him earlier.
No, I know you did. I'm more and more convinced
we would have been safer with him. Draft a couple good guys and roll, but it is what it is.
I don't know if safer is the right word, but I do think
maybe not safer, maybe better.
Who knows? I do think there's value to keeping 11 and 20. I think the move to get 11 and 23 and the draft board that they have was really smart, regardless of what you do with it.
Yep, that's not bad.
And I think what they gave up to get there and where they're at with their roster, like, I think that was smart, period. What they do with it beyond what we have to see. But if you – I mean, they may think – I mean, who knows? Fields, Darnold, like, who knows who's going to be better or worse? But I don't think staying at 11-23 is the worst thing in the world. I do think you have to take a QB. I think even if you went and got Fields, you would have had to take a QB just because there's no
– Okay, but we wouldn't have been as desperate. But, yeah, I get that.
I don't know. I mean –
I mean, Penix at 23, I'm fine with. If
Fields
I don't
played well against us, but broadly, Fields has not been good, and he's been he's been injury prone in his short career too. So,
but he hasn't had a good team. But yeah, the other thing is,
but neither has Darnold. I mean, like, you can say that about a lot of guys. I mean, at some point,
49ers aren't bad, but yeah, I guess you're right.
Well, when he was there, they were.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, he didn't really play for the 49ers. Like,
no, that's true.
Two games. I at some point, like, part of the reason the team's not good is because of the quarterback.
Yeah, no. That's fair. I guess we'll see. I'm sure I think McCarthy's the worst choice. That's the one we'll get, I'm sure, so whatever.
Yeah, we'll see. I really don't know. I mean, I think I'm with Sam in terms of what I would want to do, but I think there's enough depth in the draft. You don't have to do that.
By the way, for everyone saying that Drake May is also, I hate the player comps because you're really no one knows what they're talking about and they never translate to that player. But everyone's saying Drake May is Justin Herbert light. One, Justin Herbert in that draft was drafted 6th overall, the 3rd quarterback. May is going ahead of that. Like, I don't understand this Justin Herbert light comparison when, in theory, Drake May is going to go at least 3 picks ahead of Herbert.
Can you?
I think the light is in reference to their size, not their quality of play.
Well, I've seen some say that he's not as good as Herbert, but
well, I think like yeah, I agree with you. Every ranking or whatever you want to call it would put Drake May ahead of Justin Herbert. That is true.
I think
as prospects, obviously not in the NFL. As prospects.
I think Justin Herbert is good. I think he's overrated. I think he's overrated. He's won nothing.
Sam would agree with you.
He's won absolutely nothing. He's had unbelievable receivers and running backs and offense. I understand the defense has let them down, but I think he's overrated personally. I would take him, I guess, but I think he's overrated. He'll never win anything.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see him
Oh, he's gonna love Harbaugh, I'm sure.
Harbaugh. I kept wanting to say McCarthy because I was thinking Michigan. Because there's no doubt that coach he had was absolutely disgustingly bad. I mean, I think he was perhaps the worst coach in the NFL, and he got canned.
We'll see. What the heck's going on? I mean, you still live in New York, right? I haven't checked on you lately.
I think so. Yeah. Pretty sure.
What's going on with your Yankees announcer? He just, I mean, what, there's got to be more to it that he just decided four games into season he wants to leave.
Yeah. I don't know. I have no idea. I'd love to say I've been paying attention. I have no idea. It's pretty funny, though. I did think that was kind of funny.
Yeah. I'm going to retire effective immediately. I mean, I could have done it 6 games ago when the season started, but I'll do it now. Go through all the spring. Do you think he just wanted one last trip to spring training?
Maybe. Tampa? Maybe he needed the extra paycheck. Oh. I have no idea. I thought it was very strange.
Very weird.
I did see a tweet today that bothered me while we're on the context of announcers, that 99% of it was right and signaling what we were saying earlier. Like, the Twins have some fundamental issues, and some of them are various different people's faults. But this guy slid in there something about our good friend who used to be in the Twins booth. Oh. And I don't remember the exact tweet, but it was something like, and this was a joke. It was like facetious, but he said the Twins will be fine. And then he was like, it's totally normal to get off to a start like this after winning your first series in 20 plus years, cutting payroll significantly. And then he slid in there, firing your longtime announcer, finishing with the worst. And then he went on to list like 2 or 3 other things. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's back this up a little bit. Firing that guy has absolutely nothing to do with what's going on the field. No, if you want to use that as maybe a signal to them saving money, sure. But, like, how much would that really have been, and how much would it have made a difference to the on-field product? None. I was like, don't throw that stupid pity party in the middle of what is a very valid commentary. Because his point was like, the guy's point was like, they have some fundamental things that, like, these aren't just flukes. Like, it's a lot of things that are piling up that they'll have to overcome. Firing the announcer from last season. No.
Although Corey Provis is doing everything he can to follow right in his footsteps by jinxing us. But, Sam, remind me off air to tell you I have information on our least favorite announcer that I need to share with you.
So what do you guys think the Vikings do?
I think they get J.J. McCarthy because it's the least desirable move. And what else does a Minnesota team? Like, if we set a guideline of every Minnesota team in town and said the one move we wouldn't want them to make, they would make every move because we don't want them to do it. I say J.J. McCarthy. Probably, I don't know, fifth?
Okay.
Is that the Cardinals? They don't need...
The Cardinals are... Aren't the Cardinals? I just had it open.
Whichever one, I think the Cardinals.
Fifth is the
Chargers. Cardinals are fourth, but I guess you could get to five because you know.
Well, why would the Chargers? I mean, the Chargers would want to. I would think a team like the Chargers would do it, but I don't know.
The Chargers would totally do it. So would the Cardinals probably.
Yeah, so they're gonna get McCarthy. Well, I know it. Ugh.
It's really interesting to see though. I think they honestly are waiting out to see if they get the trade picks with the Falcons. Because of the Kirk tampering thing, because that did happen, I don't know, a couple of years ago.
Well, first of all, I mean, that makes like sense. Why they're waiting?
Yes, they would swap 11 and 8.
Yeah, I think they said they'd swap 11 and 8 and like maybe give them a late round one or something like that.
But I mean, does it matter? I suppose it helps three more picks, but I mean,
they wouldn't have to give up as much.
Right, 8 and 23 means more than 11 and 23 is Sam's point. So maybe instead of 8, maybe instead of 11, 23 in your first next year, maybe it's 8, 23 and a second this year, or maybe a first in 2 years.
Oh, I see. I gotcha. Okay.
So yeah, I think they're waiting for that, and then I think they trade up to number 3. I mean, it makes the most sense. I mean, they got to get their guy.
That whole tampering thing is fascinating to me, if I can pivot us for just a quick second. Like,
everybody was calling it.
It happened. So I don't really know what they're waiting. Like, it's very obvious that he spoke to them and before he was supposed to. Well, so I don't really know what they're waiting for.
Well, they just ruled on the other one. Who was it? The Eagles? What was the one they just ruled on? There was one they just ruled on like a day ago. Yeah. So they figured now we'll be next. I can't remember who it was. You're right.
Let me find it. Yeah.
Eagles, Giants.
Right. It was
Barkley. Was it Barkley? Saquon.
I'm finding it. Do. Well, last year the Eagles were involved in one.
Oh, there's one this year though.
I know. Too. I'm trying to find it. Why can't I find it now? Where is it? Oh my God. Everything you open these days, I get it. You're trying to make money and support, you know, whatever, all that. But like every single now news site you open is behind a paywall, which I mean, I get it, but, I can't find it. I think you're right. It was an NFC East team of some sort, but
I think it was the Barkley one.
Sam, what I'm thinking too is I think they may swap 8 and 23. I wonder if they do that. I know it's not technically our original pick, but
what? So we'd have 8 and 11?
I don't know. I have no idea. I guess they can kind of do whatever they want. But
if we had 8 and 11, I mean, we should be able to get to 2. I don't know if I'd give both those up.
The thing is though, we might not need to get to 2, depending on what guy we want. Like, if we really want McCarthy, there's no reason to trade up to 2.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want McCarthy, so I'd like to. Well, if no, we had 8 and 11.
McCarthy.
I think 8.
I'd probably take McCarthy over Penix, but
I personally think I would not.
But I don't.
If I had 8 and 11, I wouldn't trade. That's, I mean, to trade, that's pretty high. That's like 8 and 11 is.
Well, you'd assume you'd be able to probably. I guess the question is, do you think someone else is going to trade up to take J.J. McCarthy, for example? And do you want to take Penix at 11? That seems way early for Penix.
No, I won't.
So if you think someone else would trade into 4, 5, whatever, for J.J. McCarthy.
I'd rather take two stud players at 8 and 11 and just roll with Darnold for 1 year and then see if we can make a trade for Arizona guy or somebody. I don't know. Oh, we might be able to get Fields after all. Who knows? But that's what I would do. I'd go back. What I would do. I just figured it out. If we get 8 and 11, I draft, and then I try to make a trade for Fields. It's brilliant.
Well, I think you give Darnold a shot at that point.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'd have Fields.
I mean, if it goes poorly, then yeah. But I just you don't get very many opportunities to actually take a swing at a franchise level quarterback, and I think those exist in this draft. And I think you have
the one we're going to get chance. Though. But.
No, but you can. But like, you have the assets for the first.
Well, if we get 8 and 11, there's no reason we can't get to 2 or 3. If they'd be dumb not to take those two.
Well, I'd assume the other thing that'd be nice about getting 8 and 11 is you probably can just give up just 8 and 11 and get to 3. Like you probably can hold the first next year, which would be useful.
Yeah. Nope.
Or maybe at that point you trade 8, your first next year, and like a second, some like this year or next year or whatever, and then you get to keep 11 because 8 is worth. So much.
If they get out of this with a top quarterback and the 11th pick, then they're brilliant.
Well, they're lucky, but yeah.
Well, yeah, they're lucky that Kirk Cousins, who was never, ever, ever going to play here anyways, was dumb enough to be tampered with. So congrats on that one, Atlanta. He's going to screw you out of a good draft pick, and you have zero chance of making a very far in the playoffs. So good luck. He's yours now.
Yeah,
I feel better than
that. You said that. You got that off your chest.
Yeah. Kirk Cousins.
No, we know. Kirk's selfish. He's a coward.
I'll tell you what. If Kirk somehow gets us the 8th pick in the end of all this, I will. It'll be a nice little parting gift.
Can you help me understand? I don't understand the playing game. So if Lakers beat New Orleans, is New Orleans out?
No, New Orleans then plays the winner of Sacramento Golden State.
So it's double elimination, basically.
It's double elimination for the 7 and 8 seeds.
Oh, there's
single elimination for the 9 and 10.
Understood. Okay.
7 and 8 play. Winner in plays the 2 seed. 9 and 10
play. We should probably talk about how. Go ahead, Drew.
No, I was just going to finish explaining it to Dad because he didn't even know the game.
No, I get it. No.
Okay.
I get it.
Sorry, I forget it takes him a while.
No, he texted me. I said the thing about the game being on, and he was like, what game?
I just, yeah.
Of course, the Timberwolves play the one team that they can't beat, so.
No, it's, you can't make it up.
They have a better chance of beating the Nuggets than the Suns.
They have beat the Nuggets. Yeah. Yeah. They have beat the Nuggets. No, they will be swept. It'll
Anthony
be over.
Edwards, I don't think has ever beat the Suns in his career.
I think we've won one out of our last 10. I think I saw.
So there's zero chance we beat Phoenix. Is this a successful season? I mean, we're just the same spot we always are.
I mean,
I guess it's the same thing we talk about the Wild.
Technically successful because it's like a top 5 record in the. History of the franchise, but it's not successful because Glenn Taylor is still our owner.
I think relative to preseason expectations, it's successful. I think postseason, looking at the way it's gone and what we could have done, I don't think so.
Oh, what an embarrassing!
I don't know if it's unsuccessful rather than it's a disappointing conclusion. I guess is how I would put it.
Oh, shocking.
It is just perfectly Timberwolves.
Yeah, no, it's perfectly Minnesota.
It's a franchise best or second best season in the history of the franchise, and we're rewarded with
the only
historically good conference. And not just an historically good conference. It's the first time ever there's been three teams in a conference with that good of records all at the same time to conclude a season. Then on top of that, Phoenix has no business being a six seed. They just had everybody hurt at some point throughout the year. So we're stuck playing a team that we shouldn't be playing in the first place. Now, maybe if Phoenix is healthy, we're at four, not three. But that's fine. Then we're playing whoever. We're playing Dallas, who we crush. Like,
well,
it's just a very perfect outcome for the franchise.
I will say
that all of this is occurring.
They lost to a bunch of really crappy teams, so they do deserve this. Go ahead.
Everybody does, but I don't know if I'd agree with that. We had one of the best records against bad teams. So.
And their second best player was out for months. So. But
here we go again, Minnesota. Here we go again.
No, I'm just saying, all jokes aside, though, I am really fascinated to see in this playoff series is last year, the reason we didn't beat Memphis was honestly the youth and the inexperience of Anthony Edwards, probably especially, but
and we choked.
You can put in the whole team and the coaching and his inexperience in the playoffs and inability to close out a game. So I'm really fascinated. Finch has done a great job this year and the players have been a lot better growth during the regular season and not Anthony Edwards still kind of falls back on him. I mean, granted, he's only 23 years old or whatever he is, if at all. Of trying to take over games at the end when we actually have a really solid offense with ball movement and Mike Conley right at the point. It's when this happens in the playoffs, if we go up 20, we probably won't, but do we close it out or two all year against the tough teams, against Boston, against Denver, against all these teams, we have come back from 17 points down, 20 points down, whatever it is. And it's because we keep playing like our brand of basketball and we aren't just playing one-on-one the entire time. Do we take that big step and growth in this postseason, which will definitely probably determine if we actually win the series or not. So we'll see what happens.
That's why I started rattling off all the Minnesota teams, just team after team, disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. You can throw in the female soccer team, the men's soccer. You can throw in the Bachelorette, who always finished second.
What I'm saying is
we just suck.
We said the same thing, you know, about the Twins at the end of last season. They actually won a series. This team, it feels like a little different because they're coming back off big leads against good teams, you know, and they're winning games that you have no business winning this year. And it's because of the growth that, I don't know, maybe partly was a slap in the face, that Memphis series. But we got to carry that in the playoffs when it matters, and we'll see if...
By the way, I literally flipped the game on just to see... Are you watching the basketball game?
Yeah.
I literally just flipped it on. First of all, I don't know any of the players on the court, but that's a different conversation. But
you probably missed... there was a free throw, and D'Lo was on his... No joke, he's on his hands and knees, he fell over into the lane. He was trying to get a rebound. He was literally on his hands and knees inside the 3-point line during the free throw, and they didn't call a violation.
The guy for New Orleans hit a 3-pointer, I think, from half court. It was like a normal shot. It was crazy. But on that note, this has been another edition of Apples to Apples right here on WFNU 94.1 Frogtown Community Radio. Stay tuned for some sort of version of the hottest radio show on the planet, Connor's Corner. Right.